Good evening. Just it's been a blessing for us to be here this week and just get reacquainted with you all and Pastor Dimlow, and it's been good. It's been refreshing for me also. And today, when we were online with the church, and just miss our folks, and it's just a blessing seeing them and seeing them react. I mean, they react a lot better than you all. So I mean, just let you know that. No, it's good to get back. I am here after this. I'll probably just have to go to bed. So I'm like mentally exhausted right now. But praise the Lord, I'm excited about, I guess it's okay, I'm excited about the sermon. I'm excited about, this part of the scripture here. And I just want to, I hope the Lord uses His word here tonight and show you what He's shown me to where you can get excited about serving Him and about doing what He wants. You know, there's nothing like serving the Lord and doing His will in our lives and just being right with Him. You know, there's nothing like being right with folks. And there's nothing like just being, you know, knowing that, hey, there's nothing in between us. You know, in our marriage, hey, there's nothing in between me and my wife. There's nothing in between me and my pastor. Nothing in between me and my brothers and sisters of Christ that's bad. You know, everything's been taken care of, and it's a blessing to have that. And, you know, well, Brother Pittman, I can't have that because this, you know, the other person, I can have my part. And if I've done everything that the Lord has required of me and the Lord wants me to do, I can be happy. I can be satisfied. I can be at peace because the Lord's going to take care of everything else. And so if, I know you have your Bible, but turn to Acts chapter number 1. We'll go ahead and we'll read our text here. We'll read our text and we'll get going. In verse number 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, that passion there is so much different than what we talk about passion. There's not many of us that will admit to having passion for sports now, will we? That's a good thing. That's all right. That's just all right. But this passion here is what He gave Himself, His passion on the cross for us. And so, after, by many infallible proofs, after His passion. But verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to thank You so much, Father, again for the evening. Thank You, Father, for the day that we've had and just the week and just all the preaching and just being with Your people and in Your house, Father. I want to thank You for that. And Father, I know that You have a desire for Your will to be done in each and every soul here tonight, each and every heart. Father, I pray that You'd use Your word tonight, Father. Please use Your servant and Just bless the night, Father, please. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, you all took all week long to get through one verse of the Bible. And that's just because, you know, you listen a lot slower than the Chilenos do. I mean, they listen faster. And so, it's just because there's so much in there. There's so much in our verses. It's many times that we just read over stuff, we read through stuff, and we don't allow it. We don't look at context, or we just read through it. And how many times have we read something? How many times have you read through your Bible? And then the next time through, you read it, and you're like, well, is that something new in there? How come that wasn't there last time I read that? And so we see it. It's because, you know, the Lord works on us, and we just need to take our time and really look at it and study it and meditate on it and do all those things. You know, and it's important because of what God wants to do here. And this is an important conference. It's a very important conference for this church. You know, God wants to work His will out to further His kingdom, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what this week has been about. You know, it's about every single one of us being revived and, you know, having revival in our hearts. And then God, when that happens, God can work. God can work. And what God does and how He works and things that are done by Him last forever, for all of eternity. And so, you know, it's something that's very important. And we see here, you know, we went through verse number 8 very, very meticulously. Now we get to verse number 9, and we understand that, you know, these disciples at the beginning of our passage here, you know, they were not focused on what God wanted. It's just a fact. They were not focused on what God wanted. And so God, you know, Christ through all this, He's trying to teach them. He's being very gracious. He's showing them these things. And then, you know, He works His will. And just to cut a lot of the sermon out and to cut a lot here out so we can get going here, He gets down to verse 9 here. And we get down to verse 9. And when He's done speaking, you understand that this is the last thing that He says to them. And when He gets done speaking, and while they look steadfastly, or in verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. It says, when He had spoken these things. It's important. Hey, context, and you all understand, it's very important, but we see here, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld. You know, this word beheld is the preterite tense, you know, the participle passive of behold. Behold means to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. When Christ came to John and, you know, those days, the 40 days after His baptism, you know, and we see He comes to John. John says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Hey, put your eyes upon Him. Get your attention affixed upon Him. Correct? Behold. And we understand that, you know, through that, John connected Jesus Christ with all the Old Testament sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. Behold. This behold. We see this is beheld here. It's just the past tense of it. We see here, you know, we understand how to use the word behold. It's our attention. And it says, and when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, their eyes were fixed, He had their attention. I believe I can say that. He had their attention. They went from being unfocused, being on a different subject. Hey, he was on page 555. They were on page 3, right? They were on a totally different subject. They went from that to this. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, when He had spoken these things, He had their attention. He had their attention. And can I say here, I hope you all aren't getting sick of the way that we're doing this here, but I really want you to see what, the, you know, how this transacted, you know, the order of this It's very important. When he had spoken these things, when he had given them his word, when he had given his command, when he had given them, you know, the ultimate time, the last time that he gave them the commission, when he had spoken these things, he got a hold of them with what? It wasn't the glorious way that he was getting ready to go up in, because it says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld. I want you all to see here, I want you all to understand here, that he got a hold of them through his word. Through his word. And if God never gets a hold of us through his word, then he'll never get a hold of us. If he can't get our attention through his word, not the way the preacher's jumping up and down, doing cartwheels, running up and down the aisles, or doing anything like that. If he can't get a hold of us through his word, then it's not going to last. You know, we can, you know, many times I, you know, before we left, I was preaching four times a week in Spanish. And I know that it's not perfect. Today, I was struggling. I was like, hey, I was asking the brothers. I was like, hey, now, you know, hey, what's this word for this when, you know, when I'm trying to say this? And they'd say a word, and I'm really am just a little bit deaf. And I couldn't understand what they were saying. I'm like, yeah, that, right there. But the thing is, God has to get a hold of people through his word. I can preach the word of God, but when it comes to trying to put extra stuff in there and all this other stuff, I find myself very lacking, and the only thing that I have to give them is this. But you don't want to know what I figured out? That this is just exactly what they need. Oh. And it's a wonderful thing, because we are inadequate. He has to get a hold of us through his word. Through his word. And that's what happened here. Sometimes we preach this, we look at this, you know, hey, they were seeing something miraculous, right? They were getting ready to see something that, wow, look, he's being called up into the clouds, right? But that's not what got their attention. Brethren, maybe I am beating a dead horse. But the thing is, he got their attention through his word. And if God hasn't gotten a hold of you through his word this week, how else is he supposed to get a hold of you? I'm just being serious. How else can he get a hold of you if his word has no effect on you? It wasn't, you know, again, it wasn't because of the glorious way that he was leaving them or getting ready to leave them, because it says in order that they were beholding while he spoke. He was getting a hold of them with his word. They finally, and do you get this? You know, there's an interesting phrase in John chapter number 2. It's an interesting phrase. It says in John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter number 2 and verse 24, "And Jesus did not commend himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." In John chapter number 2, at the end of that, you know, when he went and he cleansed the temple there, and they had asked him some questions or whatever was going on, you know, what was going on here, you know, at the end there, he didn't commend himself unto them, because he knew all men, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew what they understood. And then we see Nicodemus comes to him by night. He knew. He understands what's in our heart. He understands what we understand. You know, and we see here, we went through, and you know, with the power that we get this knowledge, we get the ability, the knowledge to do what he wants, and we have no excuse. And he knows that I know. What I know, that I know, He knows I have no excuse. And here, brethren, here, when he got a hold of them through his word, he left. Because they finally got it. They finally got it. They finally understood. He had their attention. He had their attention when he was speaking. And then, you know, then as he was being called up, it was just kind of like, they just followed him up. Isn't that cool? Hey, I think it is. I think that's wonderful. I think that, you know, I love it when God gets a hold of my heart through His Word. And then, you know, hey, when He gets a hold of my heart through His Word, then we know that that's the rock and that's Him and that it's not going to change. Because it's based upon the Word of God and what God wants. They finally got it. He finally got their attention on with His words, His commands, His will. They were ready. And we understand, we mentioned this before, you know, they never got over it. They went, man, they preached. They preached and, you know, they waited. And there can be a debate on whether they wait too long. I could care less. All I know is, hey, they spread the gospel. We have it today because of what they did. Praise the Lord. He got a hold of them. He got a hold of them through His Word. You know, in Acts 7:6, you know, from the lost man's perspective, it says that they, you know, their testimony was that they turned the world upside down. Those that have turned the world upside down. Does God have your attention? Does He? Man, I hope so. I hope He has your attention. The same way that He had your attention on the day of salvation. When he was accusing your heart of your sin, showing your need of a Savior, showing your need of repentance. The way that He had a hold of you right then, in that moment, when you called upon Him for the first time, please save me. Does He have your attention right now in that same way? Why can't He? What part of His Word hasn't got a hold of your attention and you haven't repented of? What have you read that you're like, well, not that? What's wrong? Why isn't your joy the same as it was on the day of your salvation? You know, the day you wanted to tell everybody? Man, I remember when I got saved. You know, I'd struggled with having peace for so long. You know, and after knowing that I could have peace, I struggled. And then I finally got saved. The Lord saved me. And then, you know, I went to work. And I was telling everybody. And I'd been inviting those folks the week before. You all need to get right with the Lord. You all, a bunch of sinners, you need to repent. I'd been telling them those things. And I came back that next Monday morning, I'll be like, guess what happened to me this morning? I got saved. What do you mean you got saved? Hey, I got saved. Hey, I thought I understood, and I just knew there was something missing, and I knew I didn't have peace, but I was just kind of trying to working it out, trying to get peace. But you want to know something? I know right now I have peace, and I want you to know what I know. You know, I remember I had lunch with this charismatic man. You know, he was just a little bit. He was a little bit bigger than me, a little bit taller. You know, hey, when he was yelling at you, you knew it. I mean, you have to understand that I had that guy a few times in my face yelling at me. But we sat down for lunch. I had to take a late lunch that day, and I said, hey, I gotta tell you something. And I told him my testimony, how I'd gotten saved that morning, just hours before. And I told him, I said, hey, he was a Christian. Tell me how you met the Lord. Tell me how you got saved. And I'm telling you, that guy was a bald-headed guy. And it was just like almost the redness started coming up back here and just going all the way over and got over his forehead and his face. He got red and he started shaking. He says, and he did like this, I know God. shaken. And I was like, I didn't say you didn't. Mad. I believe that man was possessed by the demon. But my desire was to tell everyone I could. It didn't make any difference what they thought. I don't care. You know, hey, maybe it's a little bit easier to get out and preach the gospel and witness in Chile because, you know, I don't know none of those folks. What are they going to do? I mean, if they're saying curse words to me, I don't understand them anyway. It's all right. We've had that a few times. And when we first got down there, we were working on the well where we lived, and the landlord's mother came down, and we had some of the men there helping, and you know they were listening, and one of the men said, "Hey, come here. Your boys don't need to be learning Spanish from her." And I'm like, "Why? She's just a little old lady, you know." I'm like, "Why? She has very dirty words, or something like a sucio boca. She has a very, very dirty mouth." And I was like, "All right." We tried to witness to those folks. It didn't really work. But maybe it's just a little bit easier there because, you know, hey, if they're speaking too fast or something's going on, or, you know, it's just like, you know, hey, I'm here to do a job. You need the gospel. You need what I got. You need what the Bible says. And just tell them. Tell them. You know, I hope. That God has a hold of you, has your attention in the same manner that He did on the day of your salvation. Because it can be the same. It can be the same. You know, Pastor Dimlo told one of the folks there, their name, the story he was telling it was David and Daniela. You know, David, he got saved last February, and Daniela, she was on the video. She said, today is the 4th of August. She goes, I got saved. I called upon the Lord. You know, I'm saved because He gave His beautiful blood for me. And I thank Him for saving me, forgiving me, and making me His daughter. Had a hold of her. 4th of August. That next, about this time a year ago, when we had that shipment of Bibles coming in, still had a hold of her. Hold of David. And they gave that money. And you know, when they came and asked about that, I was like, are you sure? You sure that's what God wants you to do? Are you positive that's what God wants you to do? Yeah. And me being an unbeliever, I guess, I was like, really? And so then, in my mind, I was kind of working out. I didn't tell Pastor Dimlo. I was kind of working out. Well, hey, you know, we'll give him a secret. I could give him a secret offering so he can make it. And then the Lord was like, no, you won't. I told that testimony in a church. Had one lady get mad at me. She said, the next time you need money, you call our church and we'll give it to you. Those people don't need to be doing that. And I said, that's exactly what those people need to be doing. I believe that Pastor Dimlo said it very well and used a very good verse there in Philippians. Paul here, he says, not because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And that was the work of God in the hearts of the Philippians, how He had their attention and they gave sacrificially. That they may abound to your account. Not that I desire to give, but I understand God's doing that. I've had to do a couple emergency things and stuff, and the folks there were like, hey, we want to help you out with this. And I'm like, okay. And it's hard for me to receive that. But it's what the Lord wants. And you have to. It's just such a blessing. You know, after that, during that same period of time, you know, we had some problems in the church. I told you we had a wolf and everything. Well, one of the men you met on the video, he had taken about 2 or 3 months earlier than that, he had taken a job. And, you know, it wasn't something terrible, but he had to commute an hour. He had to make an hour commute. Well, in Chile, an hour commute can be, it depends on traffic, depends on the public transportation, it just depends. It could be, that hour commute could end up being 2-3 hours. And I told him, I counseled him, I said, listen, brother, I said, do you really think that it's God's will? Well, how are we supposed to pay the bills? I said, that's not going to affect your, no, we got it all figured out. I said, okay. And so he started just getting colder and colder and colder. He wasn't missing church at the time. But he started, he was. He was missing visitation, and that is part of church. He was missing visitation. And I told him, listen, I said, it's kind of hard, and he was teaching Sunday school. I said, it's kind of hard to teach Sunday school. Let me tell you what I told him. I said, I'm going to tell you what my pastor told me. That way I can blame it on him if it doesn't work out right, right? My pastor told me it's kind of hard to preach if you're not faithful. And that helped me out, so I figured I'm going to be a blessing unto him, right? Well, he didn't take that real well. Why? Because he wasn't right with the Lord. And through all that and through the destruction and through the carnage that he saw that the wolf was doing in the church, he didn't have a part in that, but he got to see that, hey, just him not being 100% right with the Lord in the church, even though he was minding his own business, just not being right with the Lord affected the whole church. And so when he saw that, when God finally got through to his heart, finally got his attention through his word, he made that video after he got done confessing, got done getting right with the Lord. He said, I want to tell you, you all read it, what the Lord's doing. The Lord got his attention. God's got a way of getting our attention. Does he have your attention? I mean, I asked it already once, does he still? The same kind of attention that he had on the day of your salvation, does he have your attention? I hope so. Why? Because it's so important. The consequences of him not having your attention, it could hurt something in the church. It's going to hurt somebody's eternity. You can never lose your salvation if you're saved here tonight. But it can affect on the ones that you're going to win. The Lord's going to use you to win. The folks that are going to be, in the regions beyond you that you can't reach. This decision, how right you are with God when you write down your number for Faith Promise Missions is going to affect eternity for someone. It's just a fact. It's just the truth. And I hope that doesn't sound mean, but it's the truth. It's going to affect someone's eternity. And so we see here, when he got a hold of them through his word, it was almost like the Lord's, God the Father said, all right, it's time. Come on up. They got it. Come on. Come on home. And he got to go home and be with the Father. I think that's an amazing thing. The Bible says after he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. He had their attention, and now it was time for them to do the work. And they did. The Father said, it's time, basically. Come on up. He was finished. He was done. He could leave. I like it. I really like that. Just thinking about that, just like us, sometimes we get boneheaded ideas, we get, not focused or whatever, but God has a way of getting us back focused. And then after he gets a hold of us and he says, okay, it's time. Let's do the work. God does that. His time was finished teaching them. His time to be with the Father was at hand. And the Father was ready for His Son's return. Amazing, beautiful, beautiful thing. And so we see here that while, you know, it gets better, brothers and sisters, it gets better. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Until they, you know, that was the last time they were going to see him. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we see what is said to him, this prophecy that's given to them. And they look steadfastly up. Steadfastly here means firmly, with constancy, with steadiness. It says steadiness or steadiness of mind. They were stable, ready. You know, many times what we deal with a lot, with especially young men in Chile, is they're just not stable. This is their spiritual life. It's like this. Always. It's like AC current, right? Electricity, AC current, alternating current. They're just constantly doing this. When it needs to be something direct, and it just needs to be constant. And we try to teach them that they can be stable, and they can be, you know, through what the Word of God teaches. And so we see that. But here, you know, these disciples were ready. It says that they looked steadfastly with steadiness of mind. They weren't wigging out, right? They weren't like, oh, it was time. You know, one of the things I found out training for the ministry, I spent quite a few years in the first part of my training for the ministry, being like, hey, preacher, I'm ready, let's go. No, you're not ready. You need to be proven a little longer. You need to cook a little longer, basically. You need to be in the oven just a little bit longer. You ain't quite ready yet. And no, you don't understand. I'm ready. You know, and he would say, you know, the fact that you're telling me that you're ready shows me that you're not ready, brother. You're just going to have to just chill out for a little bit, you know. But preacher, you don't understand. And so then I got it worked out in my mind. He's testing me. He's testing me to see, you know, hey, just see, hey, if I'm real, for real on this, if I'm really ready. Preacher, no, really. You're going to have to chill out. Because you ain't ready yet. And if you're going to be sent out of this church, when you're ready, I'll know, the church will know, your family will know, and you'll know. And finally I got to the point in time, the Lord used different men, some different preachers in my life, and some different church members in my life to show me that, hey, just pray. And specifically to pray to the Lord for peace, but also that, hey, if my pastor's wrong, I'm going to pray to the Lord, and I'm going to submit myself, because that's what the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 13. You know, I'm going to submit myself, and if he's wrong, the Lord's going to deal with him and show him. Mm-hmm. And I just need to be obedient, and I need to do what's right with the Lord, and be stable. Constant. And you know, after a little while doing that, I got to seeing that, man, I ain't ready. We need to work on this, work on this. We need to work. You know what? I'm just going to serve the Lord. Hey, I'm going to preach. I'm going to go find Bible studies. I'm going to do exactly what Pastor wants. Hey, Pastor, can I do anything else or anything else I can get going? No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Hey, you sure I can't have something else? No, you're doing just fine. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And then one day he finally comes to me. He goes, "Don't you think it's about time for you to get out of here?" And I'm like, and I'm sitting there thinking, no. not now. Yeah, it's time. You're ready. Let me tell you something. What had happened? If we wouldn't have had that time, if God wouldn't have used my pastor, the one that was shepherding me, to show me that or to hold me back and to show me, hey, listen, God's not in this just yet, but He's going to be. Never discouraging, but He's going to be. Come on, let's just stay in God's will. Let's just stay the course here. And if I would have just threw a fit, first of all, Pastor Merrick would have never sent us out. We would have had to go do something outside of the New Testament church or something like that. But then when I would have got out, we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have made it. Not with all the stuff that we went through. There would have been, we wouldn't have been stable enough to have been like, the Lord's got this. The Lord's going to take care of us. And we had to have that steadiness of mind that we were supposed to have. And, that, you know, I just see that. I see that. I'm sorry. I see that here. I see that here in what the Lord's doing. When he leaves for the last time. It was ready. They were ready. Listo. That's era la obra. They were ready to do the work. And we see here that while they were looking steadfastly up into heaven, their attention was fixed. You know, they started here. He was talking to them. And then I believe they did just kind of follow him up. And while they were looking there, these two men stood by them in white apparel. You know, if you want to know, these folks were angels, is what I believe. They were angels. You know, and I've never had that I could see. I believe they've been around us all the time. Angels standing by us in white apparel to where we could actually see them with our eyes. But I just have to believe that if we're all, you know, here having a prayer meeting, you know, and we're praying and we're actually looking towards the Lord, and two men in white apparel are standing here amongst us, it may startle me just a little bit. Where'd they come from? But you understand that they were so steady, they were so fixed upon the Lord right now, that these men had to start talking to get their attention. Isn't that interesting? They had to start to, you know, which said also, you know, it says, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" And they had to, you know, it's almost like they had to say, "Hey, get their attention." Because it was on Jesus. They were so fixed upon him, they didn't see this. Do you understand also that they got to see two miraculous things this day after God got a hold of them, got their attention? They got to see Jesus taking up. It says, into the clouds. It says, what does it say there? It says here, in while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went up. So it's kind of like, you know, he was just like floating up. Like he went up. And so they were just kind of followed him. They got to see two miraculous things here on this day after God got a hold of them and got their attention. Through His Word. We'll never see the miraculous in anything unless God gets a hold of us through His Word. You know, many times you'll read in the in commentaries and different things, you'll read like a lot of these liberal guys and different things. They don't want to give an account, or they want to scientifically prove the miraculous. You know, it'll be like the Red Sea. No, you know, really, that was the Sea of Reeds. It really wasn't that deep, you know. Well, how'd they go over on dry ground then? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they can't ever really explain it away. But they can never see the miraculous because God's Word has never gotten their attention, got a hold of them. And I really believe, brethren, that it's the same way with us. Until God gets a hold of us, gets our attention fully, that we're never going to see the miraculous. We're never going to, you know, hey, when God gets a hold of you and He says, hey, this is what I want you to give, and you give that, and then you're sitting there thinking, you know, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to have faith in you. You've gotten a hold of me through your word. Hey, I'm going to do what you're saying here to do, and you do it, and then you see God miraculously provide for you and your family, or God miraculously do things, and you see that happen. Hey, it's because God got a hold of you, and you'll never see that unless God gets your attention, gets a hold of you. Do you understand? You'll never see the miraculous or appreciate it like someone whose God has gotten their attention, showing them here, and He fully has them. Their grasp and their attention is fully on Him. You'll never see the miraculous. And so we see what they say here, what these men say. It's very, very, very interesting. With when they were looking at with fixed attention, they said basically, you know, if we were to summarize, if we say it like we would say it, hey, there's no time for this. You know, what are you doing? Come on now, let's go. Let's get to work. It was time to go and get busy. And they give them the promise. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? Don't you know? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. You know, we see here, you know, in this manner, you know, He's taking up into heaven. Where's He at right now? He's there making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. We see that, you know, in Acts chapter number 7. We see that. We see that He is there making intercession for us. Because that's where He's supposed to be right now. We're supposed to be here doing the work, doing His will. And it says here, you know, I'll hurry up here. It says here that He's coming back. You know, it says here, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. This same Jesus, He's going to come back in the same manner that He left. You know, what's it say? I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll read it. I mean, I can try to quote it, and I'll get a couple of the words wrong, but, you know, it's important here. Let's just read the whole thing. You know, in chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it says, what does it say here? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise. And it says here, for the Lord Himself. He's not going to send one of His servants to come get us. For the Lord Himself. The King is personally going to come and get us. What an honor. Seriously, what an honor. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Princes, Creator of everything, will come Himself for us. You know, these angels here, they say, they say here, this same Jesus. There's not a different one coming back. I want you to get this, and I'll shut up in a few minutes. This same Jesus, the one that saved you, the one that's been with you all night long, been with you in your problems and in great victories, comforted you, encouraged you, worked in your life, made you a child of God. This same Jesus is coming back for you. This same Jesus. Don't you love all the words that's in our King James Bible? This same one. Because there is no other one. This same Jesus is coming back for you. You know, we see here that this was a promise, you know, and we understand that this was a promise, it's going to happen. And these folks here, this first church, what'd they do? They got busy. They did what God wanted. He had their attention, and like I said numerous times this week, they never got over it. They never got over it. You know, they went back, they had a church meeting, you know, and they handled some difficult issues. They did, didn't they? They had to deal with this Judas that had betrayed them. They had to talk about that. They had to replace him. They had to deal with problems. But that's all right. They were in one accord. They were in one accord and in prayer. Why? Because God had their attention with His Word. And they knew, they believed the promise that this same Jesus is going to come back. And they got busy and they preached. They went and accomplished what His will was. And if you're saved here tonight, you're saved because of how God worked in this church's heart on this day. They're part of our lineage of faith. You know, if you think about it, the folks that will get saved, well, the folks that have gotten saved in Chile are part of you all's lineage of faith. What you all have given and sacrificed, that fruit is in your account and it can never be taken away. It's part of your lineage. And how is that going to be furthered this year? Does God have your attention? Do you know what He wants you to do? If you don't, just keep praying about it. He'll show you if you'll let His Word get a hold of you. And let's go do the work. Let's pray. God, most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You so much, Father, for this night. Thank You, Father, for just Your promises. And Father, it'd be okay if You just came back right now and You allowed Your Son to come back and we could hear that shout and, you know, in the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, Your trump. It'd be all right if it sounded, Father, right now. We could go meet our Savior in the air. Father, we know until that happens that we have a work to do. We need to further Your kingdom. We need to preach Your gospel, Father. And I pray that You just get a hold of each and every one of us to do our part, Father, please. We love You, Father. Thank You again for the night. We ask all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.